My name is Don. I'm one of your pastors here at Legacy, and it's my honor to bring this message to you this morning. We're looking at the movies, and we're working our way through the seven deadly sins. There is no direct list in our Bibles of the sins, but they're definitely there in themes and issues, stories throughout the text that show these sins. It wasn't until 590 when Pope Gregory actually finalized this list for us. We started out with a deadly sin of pride, the mother of all sins. And we combat that sin of pride with humility. Being here in worship weekly is a reality check for us. And we grow in humility through prayer and scripture. Last week was the deadly sin of envy. And envy is an ugly, ugly sin. It causes us to desire things simply because other people have them and we don't. Or we even cheer when they lose those things that we desire. The solution to dealing with envy is to grow in contentment, realizing that God has already blessed us with so much in our place and position in life that makes harmony and empathy possible, and we are able to grow. Now today, we're going to discuss the deadly sin of wrath. Watch this.
Passionate people tend to overreact at times.
Why does it say pepper jam when there is no pepper jam?
You and me both, man. I think it's lucky I'm not armed.
You want a piece of this, Pops? Come and get it!
Just shut up!
I'm only gonna say this one more time, sir. Calm down.
I'm calm!
You need patience. You need to see the big picture.
I've just about had enough of you.
Sometimes I want to punch you in your perfect teeth.
What's the matter with you?
Don't come near me, seriously. When I'm backed into a corner like a wild animal.
You foul, loathsome, evil little cockroach!
Hi.
He's not gone! That's the whole point! He's never gone!
Is this some radical new therapy?
You see?
Patience. Don't you get mad at him?
I hate them.
But we shouldn't be angry. We should be grateful.
And beware. Anger, fear, aggression. The dark side are they.
All other deadly sins lead to anger and wrath. And it is the one sin we seem to really try to justify. Anger is the first emotion we learn, and it is the last we learn to manage. Wrath and anger are very much a part of our life and our world. We see it every day. We turn on the news and we hear about angry people letting their wrath control their actions. Last week at my daughter's softball game, parents got mad at the other coaches and at the umpires. And it's 11 and 12-year-olds playing softball. I mean, they're still learning the dynamics of the game. I mean, my daughter's coaches are yelling at our girls just to pay attention and not chase butterflies, for crying out loud. Open your eyes when the ball's coming. It does help you catch it better. Anger is all around us. We see it in others, and we feel it in ourselves. Now, this is not a message about never getting angry. That's not possible, and it's okay to be angry. You just don't want that anger to lead to wrath. A truck driver was driving down the road when a motorcycle gang surrounded his truck and started harassing him and almost caused him to lose control of his semi. The trucker started yelling at the bikers, honking his horn. His face was getting red, and he was getting very angry, and they just kept harassing him. Finally, he was able to pull ahead and move down the road. A couple hours later, he pulled into a restaurant for dinner, and he was minding his own business and just eating his dinner when the motorcycle gang caught up to him and pulled into the restaurant. Now, not wanting any trouble, he just kept to himself and just was eating his dinner, and one of the bikers started yelling at him. You know, big man with an 18-wheeler is not so tough when you're out of the truck, are you? And just harassed him while he was eating. The trucker didn't say a word. He just paid his bill and walked out. The biker turned to the waitress and said, "Not much of a man out of his truck, is he?" The waitress just casually went about her business and said, "Well, he's not much of a truck driver either, because he just ran over 6 motorcycles on his way out of the parking lot." Anger can lead to many things. Can lead to injustice, to violence, and to retribution. Now, I want us to consider 3 kinds of anger this morning. Now, the first kind of anger, I'll call it controlled anger. Now, many believe that anger is a sin. You shouldn't ever get angry. And when you get angry, you're sinning against God. Now, I've found that non-believers are usually the first to point this out to me. "I thought you were a Christian. You shouldn't get angry. What would Jesus do?" I don't know. I'm not Jesus. When we think anger is a sin, we fail to remember that God created anger as an emotion. Being angry can even be a good thing. But like everything else that God created, it can become a bad thing when we let that take control. We can spend a lifetime dealing with anger, denying it, suppressing it, or avoiding it's even there. We turn it inward and it becomes depression. We express anger and it becomes exaggerated and it hurts. We excuse our temper by claiming that people and situations make us angry, when in fact we choose our responses. One of the greatest battles in life is controlling anger, especially when there are so many people out there that are just annoying. Today we're going to look at an old movie, What About Bob?, with Bill Murray and Richard Dreyfuss. Bill Murray's character has some psychological problems, and he's just a mess. And Bill Murray is a psychologist, and he's somewhat arrogant. And he has a problem. He cannot get rid of Bob. Now, if you rent this movie, it's recommended for ages 12 and up, but all our movie clips today are age appropriate. Check this out. Mmm.
so scrumptious. Is this hand shucked?
Mm-hmm. Would you like some more chicken, Bob?
Mmm. Leo, do you want the breast?
No, that's fine. Eat up.
Great biscuits, huh, Bob?
Mm, yeah. Great biscuits, great corn, great potatoes.
You want some more salad, Bob?
Yeah, I think I do. Pile it high and deep, will you, please? Could you get that tomato off there, please? Thank you. Oh.
Will you stop that, please?
The second anger is that slow and simmering anger. We keep it inside. We bottle it up. And what happens with this is it becomes poison, and it begins to change us. A good example of this is in marriage. You know, there are always those little habits that our spouse does, which kind of gets on our nerves. Not in my marriage. I'm just kidding, my wife's a saint. Now, we don't say anything about them. We just let it go. We continue, and then our spouse just continues with those habits. And what happens then is other things then start bothering us, and we just let those things build. And we start looking at our spouse with this critical eye. And everything then starts, every little innocent thing starts to get on our nerves. And before we know it, everything builds and builds and builds until the pressure valve goes off. And we blow up. All because we never said anything about those little things at the beginning. The third type of anger is dynamite anger. It has a very short fuse, and then it explodes very quickly. Now, the thing about dynamite anger is the damage it does to everything around it, anything close to it. This type of anger, you can't help but notice it when it goes off. It explodes, and whether it comes from you or from other people, you can't miss it. Dynamite anger is very unstable. You never know when it's going to explode, and it makes everybody around it then walk around on eggshells. Road rage is a very good example of dynamite anger. While driving, someone cuts you off and you want to honk your horn at them very loudly or wave at them in a very unfriendly manner. Or even try to retaliate by cutting them off or slamming on your brakes. In its more violent form, dynamite anger leads to physical assault or abuse. We've all experienced these kinds of anger in life, that slow boiling or that dynamite anger, and they have major impact in our lives. Anger can damage us, our relationships with others. It takes over our personal life. It takes up energy. It takes up time and a lot of effort. Anger can also damage us physically. Doctors have found that anger contributes to ulcers and hypertension, heart disease, even heart attacks and stroke. It can result in crippling arthritis and severe depression. Every system within our body can be affected by anger. It can ruin our health. Anger and wrath can lead to revenge. Paul writes in Ephesians 4, if your anger if you're angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Revenge is wishing harm on someone. It is seeking to take action against someone who's done wrong to us, purposefully harming them, either with our words or with action. Revenge can even feel good for a while, but it is never justified, and it never leads to a positive outcome. Revenge never leads us to reconciliation. We need to remember that revenge is not for us, but it is ultimately for God to deal with. In Romans 12, it says, "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." Now, that doesn't mean we can't take action when we feel angry, but it does mean we need to give our will over to God when we're angry and don't let that turn into wrath and not seek revenge, trusting that God will take care of the injustice done to us, either in this lifetime or the next. Now, anger can lead to some positive action. Anger doesn't always lead to sin. It can definitely lead to bad things, but it does not have to. How we respond to anger makes the difference. The Bible speaks of righteous indignation, which is anger directed toward injustice but leading to a positive action. MAD is a great example of this. Mothers Against Drunk Driving was established in 1980 by a mom whose child was killed by a drunk driver. Anger is a natural response. And when we use it properly, it can do powerful, powerful things for God. Wrath and revenge only lead to self-destruction. Back to Romans 12. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing so, this will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So to help us avoid wrath, we must participate in patience. Now notice I use the words participate in. We can get lazy if all we do is practice. I want us to participate in patience. God wants us to avoid wrath and turn to Him. So how do we do that? In New York, a taxi driver veered across four lanes so he could pick somebody up, and in the process, he clipped a man's new Mercedes. The two drivers got out to examine the damage. The cabbie driver was a short man, and of course, the Mercedes driver had to be a big man. So the cabbie approached, and the Mercedes man grabbed him and lifted him up by his shirt collar so they could speak eye to eye. So the cabbie's little feet were just kind of dangling there off the ground. And the big man just started yelling and screaming at him and telling him how he could inflict a large amount of hurt and pain on him, but that this was his lucky day. He just kept throwing that in every couple sentences. Then eventually he put the cabbie back on the ground and he said, "Don't you want to know why this is your lucky day?" The cabbie was pretty shook up, so he just shook his head. And the big man leaned in. He said, because I'm on my way to court-mandated anger management classes. We participate in patience, and we make sure that anger does not lead us to sin. So the first things that we must do is we must find out what the issue is. We need to get to the root of the problem. Now, psychologists have found that anger is almost always rooted in another emotion. There's an injustice which has been done to us, which has frightened us or made us feel small. There has been an abuse of some kind in the past. There is a jealousy which has caused anger. We need to discover what the original problem is that has caused the anger. So we need to find out what that real problem is. The second thing we must remember is just because it comes into your head does not mean it needs to come out of your mouth. I hear a lot of laughter out there. I wrote this second one mainly from self-experience. Proverbs 29:20 reminds us that hasty words are a problem. Do you see someone who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for them. Take a moment to think before you speak. Before you let those words out and before you take that quick jab at somebody or before you send that email response to somebody. Before you decide what you're going to say, is that what you're going to say, is that helpful to the situation? We may need to occasionally take a little time out. Diffuse the hostility that we may feel. Take a walk. Remind ourselves that we do have the ability to control the situation. And in the process of that, we can adjust our attitudes, our precepts. And while we're doing this, then we can do number three. And we can address that party, and we can do that in a biblical manner. In other words, talk it out in a calm and cool way. If you can't, without getting worked up, if you can't talk to them without getting mad, then it's not time to address it yet. You need more time. And when you do talk to them, use the hear, think, feel process. This is what I heard you say. This is what I think about that. And this is how you made me feel. But if you're going to say, I hear what you're saying, but I think you're a moron and I want to slap you, return to step two and try again, okay? Resolving conflicts peacefully is an exercise in endurance. The ability to see within ourselves what part we had in the issue, in the action. And to not move forward with our first response, our first reaction, the first thought that comes to our mind. Forgive and overlook some of those offenses. To show mercy. Patience is not weakness. It's a sign of strength. While patient people may be tempted to rant and to rave and lose control at times, we can wait upon God in silence and in peace. Even when the rest of the world and all that's going on us would just love to get rid of the people who are causing us anxiety. Watch this.
Very nice, Pop. Thank you. Thank you. I'll take it from here.
You know, that's wonderful. Did you see me dive, Dad? Did you see me dive? I go.
Thank you. Excellent.
Here, watch this. I can do it again.
I'll take it from here.
Did you see that? Here, I'm going to do it again.
Thank you. Very nice. Oh.
Bob Wiley. I'd like you to meet your new pal, Dr. Tomsky.
Hello, Bob.
New pal? What's wrong with my old pal?
Would you show Mr. Wiley to his room, please?
Oh, no, wait a second. Doctor?
Wiley?
Doctor, you're coming with, aren't you?
Fellas, I have convulsions. My bladder is feeling funny. Fellas, my
bladder. Really appreciate you helping me out on this, Catherine.
I can only hold him for 24 hours, Leo, without staff corroboration.
I'm not worried about that in the least. I'm sure your entire staff will corroborate. Thank you. Thank you very much, Catherine.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
It was an interesting morning, fruitful, but it lacked the intensity that you and I generate together, the sparks that we get one-on-one. We just got to figure out a way to work around your schedule. Could we work afternoons? 2 to 4, 3 to 5, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Are you saying you'd rather work mornings? It's a combustible relationship, isn't it? Is it just you and me, or is it you and everybody?
Get out!
Is it something I said?
You've ruined my life! You've ruined my career! You've ruined my book! You've turned a perfectly peaceful house into an insane asylum! Get out!
Daddy! Oh
my God, Leo, what's gotten into you?
It was a disaster, Faye!
No, it wasn't! You were wonderful,
you
sweetie!
You were fine, Dad!
Yeah! Why'd you need to kick Bob out of the house?
You think he's gone? He's not gone. That's the whole point. He's never gone.
Is this some radical new therapy?
You see?
Take a breath. Participate in patience. And don't let wrath take hold of your life. Let's pray together. Lord, grant us patience. May we remember to show kindness when many around us these days want to show hate. Lord, help us to show grace when many around us want to take revenge. Help us, Lord, to be the people you have created us to be, to help show, Lord, the way to the cross, to Jesus Christ and to you, Lord, just like we were shown. Help us to honor you, Lord, with the words that we say and the things that we do. Lord, we ask these things in your awesome and your holy name. Amen.